we find that the scriptures give us a pattern of how we live our lives today. It's not, oh, it happened back then and that was all good and they were all supermen back then, but us poor folks up here, we don't need it because, after all, we just can read about their lives. Well, that's all fine, but if it happened in the Bible, it can happen now. That's the general principle I go with. Furthermore, if it happened in the Bible, I want to live this out myself as well. There's nothing like experience as the best teacher. I can read about it, but I'm just reading somebody else's experience. What good is that? I don't want a secondary relationship with God. I want a primary relationship. I want to experience God for myself, not just read about other people who experience God. I want a personal relationship with God, not an indirect one through other people. Perhaps the only indirect relationship with the Father is through Jesus Christ, who is the mediator. That's, of course, not really what we're talking about here. Anyway, Saul was the persecutor of the early church. We find that in verses 1 and 2. We read, of course, earlier that in the stoning of Stephen, which we saw in the previous chapter, chapter 8, verse 1, that Saul was consenting unto his death. So Saul was there. He had this as a vivid memory throughout his life. Saul began persecuting the church. In other words, the seeds of it were sown with the stoning of Stephen. But now, he really decided to get active about this. He wanted to really be a zealot. He really wanted to serve God. You know, there's a lot of people today that want to serve God, and they end up killing people. Or maybe not killing them physically, but they kill them with their pens, they kill them with their words. We don't serve God by destroying other people. We serve God by restoring other people. We have a different spirit than that. The spirit that Saul was operating under was a spirit of Judaism of his day. Yet we find that same spirit crept into the church as well in later years. And there we find again people being persecuted because they believe something different. Let's say they believe something false. Is that any reason to destroy them? The reason you had so many heretics in the last 500 or 600 or 700 years is primarily because the church was so corrupt that people were looking for other answers. They said, this can't be it. And so there were problems.